The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the Kisser Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzer365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Micha Cohen.
Simon Kufman Gimel Hilchas Kibud of Aim. This simon talks about the laws of honoring a parent, and we know the Gemara tells us that honoring a parent is a very great mitzvah, and the Kitzer is going to explain in a minute one of the reasons, which is because in a person there are three partners, the father, the mother, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Hashem, so therefore the honor of a parent is equated, at least at some level, to the honor of Hashem. Now there's a very interesting piece from the Sefer HaChinuch, when he introduces the mitzvah of honoring a parent, the mitzvah Lamed Gimel, and what he explains is that some of the idea, the lesson behind this mitzvah, is the fact that one of the fundamental attributes or character traits that a person needs to have is the character trait of Hakaras HaTov, of recognizing the good someone did. And he explains that the idea of kibud av em, of honoring a parent, is the fact that the parent brought the person into this world, and they cared for them, and they brought them up, and therefore that's a great taiva, it's a great favor, and therefore that respect and that honor that a person is supposed to show a parent is because a person has this obligation to realize the good, have gratitude. And the Kitzer continues and says that this is just a beginning to bring a person to realize the good that Hashem does for them, because that's really the whole basis of a person being able to have a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, with God, is to be able to recognize the good that he gets from God. So therefore, by recognizing the good that one gets from their parents, that's the beginning of a person's relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, with Hashem. Now, when it comes to the practical halachas, we find two ideas. We find the idea of fearing the parent, which means to not to do certain things that are degrading, and to show a certain reverence. And then covet is honor, the things, the proactive things that a person is supposed to do in order to honor the parents. Now we can begin the siman in the Kitzer, and we're going to see some of the relevant halachas, as well as some of the important discussions in the Paiskim. Sif Aleph. One must be very careful about the honor of his father and mother and their fear. And again, their fear mentioned over here doesn't necessarily mean a feeling of fear, of trepidation. A parent could be a very soft and easy type of person. You don't have fear at all for them. But the idea is a respect as far as the things that you don't do. That will be considered fear. Whereas covet, honor, is the things that you do for them. So if you bathe them, if you give them to eat, if you do all those things, that's cover. That's a proactive expression of cover. Whereas if you respect them in the sense that you don't argue with them, and you don't berate them, and you do things, and you make sure not to do things that would lessen their respect, that would be called myra, that would be called fear, because the action is showing a certain reverence. And the Kitzer explains why is it so important. Because Hashem equates the honor and fear of a parent to the honor and fear one's supposed to accord Hashem. And the idea that we mentioned from the Sefer HaChinuch fits very nicely over here, which is that because recognizing a person's physical roots, their physical being, where it comes from, is the beginning of recognizing their spiritual well-being, and recognizing all the good that Hashem does for them, which is obviously the basis of a person serving Hashem. Ksiv, the verse says, Kabed es avicha v'asimecha. It says, honor one's father and mother. Ksiv Mishlei, and it says in Mishlei, Kabed es Hashem ehoincha. Honor Hashem from your wealth. Ba'av v'imai ksiv, with a parent, it says, Ish imay v'aviv tiro, one should fear a father and mother. Uchsiv, and the verse says about Hashem, as Hashem alekecha tiro, one should fear God. So basically the point is that there's a very strong parallel between a person's relationship with their parents the mitzvah of fear and honor to that of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kederach Shesiva al Koyed Shemayu HaGadol Umayroi, just as one, just as the Torah commands person to be careful with the honor and the fear of Hashem, Kein Siva al Kvoidim Umayroam, so the Torah is also careful about the honor and fear of a parent. Okay, so it continues, Shloisha Shutfim Ba'adam, there are three partners in creating a person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God of Imai, the parents. The Gemara says, Ish Mazriyas Leiven Shabai, that the Gemara attributes the white parts of the body, meaning the bones, to the father, Ish Mazras Oidim Shabai, and the red parts come from the mother, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Noifech Neshama, and Hashem gives the other abilities, the soul, Marayin, sight, Shmius Eisen, and the ability to hear, V'dibor, and ability to talk. Says the kids are further based on the Gemara, Bizman She'odam Mechaber Esavavas Imai, when a person honors a parent, Emor HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says, Ma'alani Aleichem, I consider it Ki'ilu Darti Beinehem V'kivduni, as if I myself, Hashem, lived amongst you and you honored me. So again, there's a strong parallel between honoring a parent and honoring Hashem, and that's why it's a very important mitzvah. Siv Beis. Ezei Meir, what is considered the fear, the reverence that one's supposed to have for a parent? So again, these are actions that one does not do out of respect. Lo yamoy b'mekayme, one should not stand in their place. Hamayuchalai, that's set aside for them. Lamoy sham b'soyd zakenim, there'll be a place that when they say the father meets with other members, so it's a very honorable seat, so you shouldn't sit there. Or again, a special place for him to sit for davening, for prayer in the shul. La yeshev b'makom hamyuchel lehasa b'veisoy. Also a special seat at the table. So the first form is the seat. Now the kitzur explains clearly that the point is not to sit anywhere the father or mother sat. The point is that a place that's special for them, that's reserved for them, in a dignified way, right? Say the father is the rabbi of the congregation, and he has a seat up front. That's a special seat for the son to sit there. Would be disrespectful to the father at the dining room table when they have and the family sits down for dinner. That's a very official thing, and the father sits exactly at the head of the table, and for the son to sit there is again a lack of respect. Now, the Aruch HaShulchan points out that what about when a parent visits a child? He says the common custom is that the father sits at the table as a guest. He doesn't sit in the front. And the Kitzur says that because the father is not machbed, he's not, he forgives that, he doesn't mind, so therefore it's not a problem. Now, the Sharim Mitzvah Balacha points out that perhaps based on that, there would be a reason to say that the son should give the father the seat. But in any case, the point is, first of all, that if the parent says it's okay, they don't mind, it's fine, so then it's not a problem. And the Rama actually says in the laws of honoring a parent that today people aren't so careful with a lot of these things, and we hope at least that the parents forgive, and therefore, because they forgive, because a person's allowed to pass and say, well, it's okay, you don't have to do that honor for me, so we're assuming that in many different ways. Now, obviously, a person should be careful as much as they could, but on the other hand, there are forms of honor, let's say, that perhaps the parent would rather not have, even though they're entitled to. For example, let's say standing up for a parent, we're going to see one's supposed to stand up for a parent. The parent could feel, you know, every time they walk into the room, the whole place jumps up. You know, it's not very comfortable for them. They want to just live a normal life. So if that's the will of the parent, then obviously one should follow it. Now, if it's something that's not so clear, if the parent really forgives it or not, then that's more questionable. Now, getting back to this point, what the kids are, what the Aruch HaShulchan is saying is that since the custom is that the parent goes as a guest, so therefore it's not a problem for the son to sit up front. Now, from the kitzur, it would seem perhaps another simple reason would be is that when a parent visits a child, They don't have a special place at the table. We're only talking at the home, so the father has his distinguished place. In the shul, the father has his distinguished seat. When there are guests somewhere else, then perhaps there is no distinguished seat at all. So that's just another thought why perhaps one would not have to be careful about that, as the Aruch HaShulchan says. The Kitzur continues, V'lo yistur dvarav, and one should not contradict the parent, V'lo yachriyas dvarav, and they shouldn't sort of decide, meaning so the father says, I'm not sure, maybe this, maybe that, and the son says, no, this is the way it is. So again, it's a lack of respect. Befonov. Now, the Kitzur stresses the words befonov, in front of them. So there's a discussion, the Sharon Mitzvah Balocha brings it from various Paiskim, about what about not in front of them. Now, we find, for example, that in one of the classic Svarim, the classic halachic works, the Tur, which is really the forerunner of the Shulchan Aruch, that the Tur was, Rabbi Yaakov Balaturim, the author of the Tur, was the son of the Rosh, the famous Rishon the Rosh. Now, many times he'll bring the opinion of his father, and then he'll perhaps say otherwise. They quote the Rambam. The Rambam is saying that my father said such, and I say like this. So the question is, how are they allowed to do that? So one approach is to say that the problem of Liyistur Dvarav, saying differently, is only in front of it. I mean, the father says one thing, and in front of the father to say otherwise is a lack of respect. But the son, when he's being asked by himself, or he's writing a book, after the father passes away, for sure, and so he's allowed to have his own opinion. It's only in front of the parent that would be a problem. That's one approach. The other approach was that perhaps when it comes to halakha question is different because it's Torah and people are supposed to engage in finding the truth, was as opposed to something else, then that's better for the son to refrain from doing that. Now, getting back to the idea we mentioned before about the parents forgiving, if the parent is having a discussion with the child and wants to hear the child's opinion, and they're going back and forth, so obviously that's the will of the parent, so that shouldn't be a sign of disrespect. But if the father says a rabbi, and someone asks him a question, and he says one thing, and the son pipes up and says, well, I think differently, you know, if the father's making a mistake, that's something else, but if the son says, you know, I think differently, and says his reason, you know, then that will be a lack of respect. If the son wants to say, tell the person privately, you know, he has a different approach, then it could be that it's permitted. But in front of the parent, when the parent has a clear opinion about something, then that wouldn't be appropriate. I feel loymar, even to say near and different abba, that my father's opinion makes sense. So that's a lack of respect, because the father doesn't need the son to say he makes sense. The Kitzur continues, Arhechen Mayrom, how far does it go? Haben lavush chamudais, if the son was wearing beautiful garments, v'yeshe b'raish hakol, and he's standing in front of the congregation, bo aviv v'imai, and the parent comes, and this is based on a story of the Gemara, v'karu es begadav, and they ripped his clothing, v'hikuhu arayshe, and they hit him on the head, the yarku lebefanam, and they spit in his face, l'yachle ma'isam, he should not embarrass them, v'la yitzar b'fnem, and he shouldn't cause pain in front of them, v'lichas k'negdim, he shouldn't get angry, v'la yishtoik, but he should be quiet, v'yirim in melech ha'cham lochem, v'kadish baruch hu, shesivu kach, and he should have fear from Hashem, v'la yachol advoyas, and l'din ala hafsid, but he could call them to a din tira to pay back the money lost. Now, this point over here can get a little bit difficult, right? Unfortunately, in situations where the parent is abusive, does things that they shouldn't be doing, how does that play in over there? Now, it does seem that the point over here, that the child shouldn't react to the parent, is only after the fact. You know, the father already did something to the child. Now, for the child to go and to react towards the parent, so then he has a mitzvah not to do so. But what if the father is posing a danger to the child? Then the child is allowed to do whatever whatever it takes to stop the father. It's only after the fact, since it wouldn't accomplish anything, that's when he's supposed to try to control himself. In the same way, when it comes to getting the money back, if there was a loss, so the son is not obligated to lose the money. So therefore, the son will be allowed to call the father to the entire. Now, another point to mention over here is the following. We find in a number of places in the laws of Kibbutz of Aim a certain approach that Chazal had, which is sort of interesting. You know, there's a saying that neglect is a form of abuse. If you neglect someone when you're supposed to take care of them, then that's also called abuse. Now, from Chazal, at least in the laws of Kibbutz of Aim and honoring a parent, we see something a little bit different. What we see is that sometimes neglect is better than abuse, which means to say the following. Say, a parent and a child, if they're together, it's going to be explosive. It's going to be always fighting and always always bickering, and a very not pleasant situation where the child wouldn't be allowed to be able to control themselves to give the parent the proper respect. So the child could stay in that situation, or they could leave the situation. Let's say an older child, right, already a teenager, already older than that. Now, if the child's going to leave, the parent's going to be lonely. They're going to say they missed the child. They feel terrible. They're crying every night. They miss their child. From a halachic standpoint, it's better not to be in the house, even if it'll cause the parent pain, than to be in the house and to be actually berate the parent. And the reason is, in getting back perhaps a little bit to the philosophy that behind this mitzvah, but it's not just a philosophy, it's something that we see clearly precedence in halacha, which is that, again, the Torah wants us to respect the parent. Now, in a normal situation, a parent's a loving and wonderful parent, it's a very easy thing to do. Sometimes it's not. Now, even when it's not, to blatantly go and be disrespectful to the parent is problematic, because at the end of the day, the Torah is telling us that a person has to realize that they do at some level owe something to the parent. They did bring him into the world, even though it was selfish and everything else wasn't good. But at a certain level, the Torah is commanding us to have a certain level of respect. And that level of respect doesn't necessarily mean to love the parent, doesn't necessarily mean to respect the parent in our hearts. But as far as what we do, actions, we're not allowed to do actions that are degrading. So therefore, to be in the house and to degrade the parent, that would be problematic. Whereas to neglect the parent would be much less problematic. And a matter of fact, there's a story about the Maharam, who was a great gadol, and he had a little bit of an opposite problem, which is that he became this great world leader of Jewry. And the question was, if his father were to come to him, his father would want to show him great respect. And the Maharam didn't want that, because it's my father. I'm supposed to show my father respect. So therefore, you know, obviously, his father's okay with this, because if his father would have been pained with it, then he probably would have had a greater mitzvah to let the father honor him. But whatever the reason was, and also it was a long time ago, so travel was much different then. But the point is, from the day that the Maharam took this great position as a leader of Jewry, so he did not visit his father. Why? Because he rather not see his father than to have to see his father and his father accord him so much honor, which is sort of the opposite of him honoring his father. He felt that he wouldn't be able to honor his father because everyone would just be busy honoring him, and therefore this is what he held. Now, that story is obviously hard to take in its own context, and obviously in that situation, you know, the Maharam, you know, did the best thing. We're talking about one of the great Rishonim. But as far as our context, a very different context, the point is, in a relationship where the child is, if they're in the proximity of the parent, they're going to be degrading. It's better that they shouldn't be in the proximity of the parent, even if not being there will pain the parent. Now, sometimes the parent would rather it be the other way, and then you want to say that that's a mechila, that's a forgiveness. That could be true. But if the child's going to end up really berating the parents, then they should really limit their time with the parents, even if that'll cause them pain. Kitzur continues, Ezu Kavait, what does it mean to actively honor the parent? Machilu Mashkeyu, one feeds them, gives them to drink. Malbush and Machasa, one dresses them, covers them. Machnesu Maitzi, they take care of their needs. Vayit Nenulai B'Sever Panam Yafais, and the main thing is to do it in a pleasant way, happily. Shafilu Machilu B'Chol Yem Ptumais, because even if one feeds the parent the most fancy things, fattened meats, but he shows a bad attitude, the nana shalav, he's punished because, you know, so much of what we do for someone else is in the way we do it and the attitude that we do it. Now, there is a whole discussion that kibud av is mishal av, lo mishal ben, that the financial responsibility is the father's, not the child. So therefore, the child doesn't necessarily have to spend money to do these things, just he needs to use the parent's resources, but he has to take care of it for the parent. There's also a discussion about if the son being involved with the parent would, say, lose his job, lose important assets, then he might not be obligated to that as well. And these are, again, different limitations as far as this halacha is concerned. Siv Dalet continues, Hayu av o'ima yishanim, the parents were sleeping, u'avteh chanusa shel haben tachas v'shayim, and the key of the son's store is under their pillow, and he's going to lose money because he's not going to be able to open a store. Also, lakitzam, mishnasam, he's not allowed to awake them. Afal pishu yafsid ravach harba, even he's going to lose a lot of profit. Now, it's interesting that the kitzur says that he's going to lose profit. What if he's going to lose principal? What if he's going to have to lose money? He's paying his workers, and they're just waiting outside, and he has rent to pay, all those things. Perhaps then it would be permitted. I don't know, but that's perhaps could be true. But if the father will make money, right, the father's a partner in the business, if he wakes him up, and if he doesn't wake up, and if he doesn't wake him up, he'll have pain from losing the money, mitzvah la'akitza, then it's a mitzvah to do so, in order that he should be happy with this. Now, what if the father doesn't want the son not to make money? It's not so clear from the kitzur here, but perhaps that will be permitted as well. Because again, ultimately, it's what the will of the parent is, and if that's the will of the parent, then that's what should be done. The mitzvah lakita lechaz lebeis haknesset is a mitzvah to wake them up to go to shul or the shartar mitzvah or another mitzvah. Mitzvah shekulim chayavim mechved amokim baruch hu, because they're all obligated to honor Hashem, so therefore one is permitted to do so. Now, there's an interesting question that the Shulchan and Berakhos Yosef talk about, which is what if the doctor gave orders the father should go on a certain diet, right? He shouldn't have too much salt, he shouldn't have too much of other things, and the father's going against it. So should the son stop him? Should the son intervene? Or is that a lack of respect? So some are of the opinion, yes, if he's going against the doctor's orders, he's supposed to listen to the doctor, you're allowed to intervene, because again, there's a mitzvah to keep to guard your health, and he's going against that mitzvah. Others say no, only if he's really putting himself in danger. As the doctor says, you know, if you can eat salt, you can have high blood pressure. If you have high blood pressure, you have a high risk of having a heart attack. So that's not so direct, you know, whereas if it's he's a diabetic and he's taking sugar or not taking his insulin or whatever, things that are really imminent danger, then that would be something that that one should not listen to the parent's wishes. So we see over here a little bit of a discrepancy as far as when there's a conflict between what the Torah says a person should do, what the parent wants, at what point do we sacrifice the honor of the parent for the halacha? It would seem that the question is, do we say, as long as there's some halacha issue involved, there's no obligation to honor the parent, or only if it's a serious halachic issue, like a real risk, not just going against the doctor's orders, only then do we push it aside. That seems to be a little bit of a question over here. The kitzur continues in Sif Hey. Hayatzarch le'ezadov be'ir, a person needs a favor in the city, v'yadeshia shlimu chefte b'shvil aviv, and they know maybe it's a political favor, and they know that they'll do it for his father. Even though he knows that as well, they'll do it for his own honor. He shouldn't say do it for my sake. But do it for my father's sake. In order that the father should get the honor. Now, within the laws of Kibbutz of Aim, there is sort of a range. And there are things that are blatant signs of disrespect. There are blatant things lacking in honor. These may be just bonuses. In other words, what happens if he does? He just says in his own thing, so he forgets, or he's just not careful. So has he transgressed honoring the parent? Perhaps not. He just lost an opportunity. So this could make a difference for certain types of things, depending on the situation, how much he's obligated to do it. Is it just a bonus, or is it something that's completely obligated? Vav. Amr la imay asay zais. V'asa, the father said to do something and he did it. V'achakach ba'av v'shala said, and the father said, mi amr la chlasa, who told you to do this? V'humagish, and he feels, she'im yaymer, she'im amr la. If he's going to say his mother did it, what's going to happen? The father's going to get upset at the mother. Yichas aviv al imay, the father will get upset at the mother. Al yamr la, she'im amr la, lasa davar. You shouldn't say that the mother did it. Even though, because of this, the father will be angry at him. Now, this is brought in the Chayadam, based on the Sefer Hasidim. Now, this is a general question. Also, let's say it will be two people, right? Someone asks you to do something, and the other person comes and says, well, who said to do that? And if you say disclose who the person is, he'll get upset at them. Is a person allowed to say, or should they not say? That itself could be a question, and definitely over here when it comes to honoring the parent. Now, there could be a question if a person has to proactively offer the information. That may be different. And over here, he's asking, and you're offering the information. That may be worse. Whereas if the father just says, "I assume that your mother told you to do this." And he's going to go storms off to get upset at her, does he have to intervene and say, well, no, it was really me, so that he's probably not obligated to do, but it might be considered pious if he does such a thing. Siv Zayin, Chai of Lamed of Imai, there's an obligation to stand up in front of a parent. The Shara Metzionam Bahalacha brings from the Tshuva Shara Ephraim that understands that even if the father is blind, so the father can't see the person getting up for them, so he doesn't have that enjoyment, but nonetheless, there's an obligation to honor the parents for what they are, even if the parent can't see it. Now, this comes up very much when a parent, let's say, is unfortunately not able to realize what's going on around them, maybe has Alzheimer's, other forms of dementia. So perhaps we could see from the Shara Ephraim this idea that the respect of the parent is fundamental. So therefore, even if the parent doesn't realize it, they're still obligated to respect them as much as possible. Sivches chayiv l'chaptum gam l'achar moysum. One is obligation to honor a parent even after they passed away. V'maskirim b'sech shnei moser chaydish. If one mentions the parent within 12 months, pepeh b'chsav verbally or written, hari oimer hakaisiv, he should write, hari nekaparas mishkavoi, that I should be a atonement for them, a mishkava or a feminine language for a mother. And after 12 months, then already at that point, the person already got what retribution they're supposed to get. Even evil people only get judged for 12 months. Then he writes, then he writes for remembrance forever. So he writes these things in order to remember the parent. Now, there is a question if this is only when writing or even when speaking. I believe the prevalent custom is, you know, when people talk about a parent, you know, especially during the first year, you know, some people do say harinim kavras mishkavai, many don't. People usually say Zacharim Lavracha, their memory should be a blessing. Now again, it could be, I'm just offering a thought, that perhaps the reason why people don't say it as much Harini Kaparas Mishkavai, which means I should be an atonement for the parent, is perhaps because people don't feel that they're on the level to really mean that when they say that. That could be a reason why it's not so prevalent. Now saying Zacharim Lavracha, that the remembrance should be a blessing, that's much more common. Now, as we mentioned before, a person is supposed to try to do these things. If a person doesn't do them, are they transgressing anything? That's maybe questionable. But this is definitely something that a person should try to show as much honor as they could. Now, based on this idea, we find the idea of saying Kaddish for a parent is also brought from this idea of giving them honor even after they passed away. Now, there's an interesting discussion between the Navi Yehuda and others about what happens if, say, a person's parents were divorced, so there's an equal obligation to honor both of them, because if the parents are married, then the mother has an obligation to respect the father. The father has to respect the mother also, but it works differently. But with a divorce, then it's equal obligation. So now, what happens if one parent tells them to do one thing, one parent tells them to do something else? So the halacha is that it's basically both are equal. Now, what happens if the father passed away of these divorced parents? So if the father passed away, so then Huda argues that, the obligation of honoring a parent after death is less stringent than the one during life. So therefore, he wants to say that if there's a conflict between the interest of the two parents, of the two divorced parents, and one's living and one's not, we go according to the one that's living. Others, Rabbi Akiva Eiger and others, say no, it doesn't make a difference. They're both going to be equal. Siftes. Afilu aviv rashu balaveiros. Even if a person's father is evil, he's a sinner. Balaveiros. Mechabdoi misyari men of afilu mamzer. One should honor them and have fear from them, even if the person is a mamzer, even if the person is has illegitimate lineage. Because why? Because the father went and he had a child with a married woman. He committed adultery, and this person is the product of that sin. Nonetheless, there's obligation to show respect. Chai bechavad avu meroi. He has obligation to honor and respect the parent. V'yesh arman. Some say the animal chavi of Russia, that one's not obligated according to one opinion, as long as he didn't repent, cause much less a tshuva. But to pain the parent, not. One should be stringent and honor them as well. Now, as we mentioned before, it's very difficult to honor such a parent, right? The person, this is his person's biological father. They committed adultery, and the father goes and he runs off. So it's very hard to honor such a parent. I think the idea over here is more, you know, conceptually, the fact that at least at some level, this is where a person came from, this is a person's source, so therefore they need to at least not pain that person, and if they could, show respect, because again, it's not so much that the person deserves it, the person definitely doesn't deserve it, but it's more, again, for ourselves, as the Chinuch said, because a person at the end of the day has to recognize that there is some gratitude that a person owes this person, they're alive, that's their source, and that the ability to recognize gratitude, even in such a situation, is the forerunner of being able for us to recognize all the good that Hashem does for us, even though in life, not everything happens the way we want it to happen. Siv Yod Ra La'aviv Sha'ayver Al Divrei Torah. A person sees the father transgressing the Torah. La'yamar Lo Avarti Al Divrei Torah. He should not say them to the father, confront him in a disrespectful way and say, look, you went against the Torah, Yermaloi, but it should say in a respectful manner, Abba, Father, doesn't it say in the Torah the following, as if he's asking him, not that he's instructing him, and the father would understand himself, and shouldn't be embarrassed. The idea, I think, over here is that there are situations when it's permitted to confront a parent, when it's permitted the parent has to be told something, but it needs to be done as discreetly and as sensitively as possible. I think that's the message of this piece of Kitzur. Sif Yud Aleph. Amar le'aviv lavar al dvar Torah. If the father told the child to transgress the Torah, bein amitzas asay, whether it's a positive commandment, bein amitzas lois asay, whether it's a negative commandment, afilu mitzvah shel devarim, even a rabbinic commandment, lo yishmala, he should not listen to them. The chsiv, as the verse says, ish imav aviv tiro, one needs to have fear from the parent, veshab soisay tishmayru, and one needs to keep the Shabbos, ani Hashem lakechem, I'm Hashem. Somach Shabbos lomer avaim, it puts together Shabbos to fearing a parent, lomer, to say, afal pishes articha almer avaim, even though I warned you about respecting a parent, im amalach hal Shabbos, if the father tells you to disgrace the Shabbos, al yishmalai, you should not listen. V'chein b'shar kol mitzvahs, and the same is true with other mitzvahs. Ani Hashem lekechem, I'm Hashem your God. Atem v'alvicha chay b'chvoidi. The reason why my rule supersedes the father's will is because the father and the child are obligated to honor Hashem. V'alvicha chol yishmalai l'fatal tzvarai. Therefore, the child should not listen to the father to go against what Hashem wants. V'gam mitzvahs drabbanon. And even though it's only rabbinic commandment, so 1 second, so it's not Hashem, it's the rabbis, says the Kitzur, no. Divrei Hashem is Baruch Shemai Hain, that's also considered the word of God, Dechsiv Lo Yisasur, because Hashem commands us to listen to the Chacham, to listen to the sages. The father said, "Lo yidaber im ploini shula yimchalei." He says, "Don't speak to so and so, and don't forgive him." Because the father wants the son to keep in a family feud. Vaben hayreitzel l'spayes, and the son would like to make up with the person. Ein lechosh l'fkudas avim. He should not be concerned about his father's instructions. Ki aser lisnei shum yehudi, because there's a prohibition to hate another Jew. Im like yishireishu over avera, unless he sees him doing an avera, and that's a limited type of hatred. Not the idea is he doesn't like his actions, but generally speaking, one is supposed to love every Jew. And therefore, it would come out that there's a conflict between what the father says and what the Torah says, and therefore, his obligation to do what the Torah says. This is the end of this shir, and in the next shir, we'll continue to talk about the laws of honoring parents.